This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. I want to return to a troubling topic this morning that more and more seems to keep coming back again and again. I'm talking about the issue of pay-to-play at the high school level. Now, you all know we've discussed this issue of pay-to-play several times before. That is where high school coaches moonlight in the off-season with running a travel program, and that they have some of their high school players play for that coach's outside travel team. Now, these coaches, of course, routinely charge these kids, these players, these high school players of theirs, to be on their travel squad. This kind of situation always raises the issue, always raises a specter of potential conflicts of interest. And some parents quietly protest, saying that it's something of a given that if my child, my youngster, wants to be on the varsity team next year, then their high school coach fully expects him or her to be on their travel team. And parents just sort of assume that this is the cost of admission, so to speak, to have your son or daughter be on the varsity ball club. And of course, this added travel team cost, well, it can run into the thousands of dollars. Now, the high school coaches, as per most school districts, well, they defend their travel teams, and they always insist that being on their travel team is strictly optional. It's up to the parents and to the kid. And round it goes. But this morning, let me take this pay-for-play in a different direction. In an excellent article in the Washington Post reported by Roman Stubbs, a very successful high school baseball coach in Washington, D.C., well, he runs a travel team program for his players in the summer that goes into the fall. But the coach and the high school where he works make it clear up front that when the youngster signs up for class at St. John's College High School, that if he wants to be in the school's baseball team in the spring, well, the ball player agrees to play only for that coach's travel program in the summer and the fall, and that the kid and his family agree up front to pay the $2,400 travel fee each year. Now, tuition at St. John's High School, obviously it's a private parochial school, it runs $20,000 a year. And of course, the $2,400 for the travel team is on top of that. Not to mention the extra cost, of course, for when you're traveling in the summertime, paying for hotels, meals, tournaments, and so on and so forth, because that's, of course, when the travel team plays its games. And again, here's the kicker. If you don't pay the $2,400, your son is asked not only to leave the baseball team, but to leave the school as well. Now, understand, St. John's College High School, it's a top high school program. They routinely send several players each year to Division I programs, colleges like UVA, UNC, Virginia Commonwealth, Mississippi State, and so on. This is a big-time program. But it also seems to be a rare program where, in fact, when you enroll in the school, you agree to be on the coach's travel team, and you have to pay for it if you want your kid to keep his spot on the roster. Now, this to me is sort of different, it's unusual, it's creative, and it's being, I mean, from the school's perspective and the coach's perspective, they're being very, very honest up front as to why they're doing this. And I want to take your calls about this because I just think this is so different. It may be when it comes to pay for play and the meshing of travel programs with high school varsity programs, we may be seeing as this is the wave of the future. It also allows top high school coaches to make some extra cash with the travel team in the offseason. And again, from the school's perspective, and this school, St. John's College High School in D.C., they say that by having the coach watch over his baseball players all summer, he can keep track of how many innings they're throwing, how many innings they're pitching, how many at-bats each kid gets. It gives them more control to make sure that these kids don't get hurt, they don't get to throw too much, and they're getting plenty of playing time. Or is this actually just asking too much of a high school player and his family to be wed for 4 years to a summer league team, which is run by the coach? Now, this past year, I have to tell you, according to this article in the Washington Post, five good ball players transferred out of St. John's, all of them top D1 level potential players, because they didn't want to play for the coach's travel team. And the way I understand it, once they said no, the school said, okay, you have to leave St. John's. 1-877-337-6666. Again, this cuts in lots of different directions. I'm curious to get your thoughts and observations and comments about this, because I just think this is so unusual, but it may be the way it's going to be down the road. In fact, when I tweeted this out yesterday, this topic, I got one response came from a high school down in Florida at Plant High School, where this same comparable kind of thing happened last year. But Plant High School is a public high school. The coach was basically telling his players, well, if you want to be in the baseball team, which is also a top high school program in the state of Florida, you have to be on my travel team. A little different there because you can't really mandate that the school district can't mandate the kids to pay extra tuition for a travel program. But it was pretty situation where the coach was reprimanded, was actually fired from the school as the baseball coach, and then he was rehired a few weeks later. So this is a real issue for a lot of people, and I'm thinking that you must have some thoughts and comments about this. And again, going back to the five kids who transferred out, well, three of the families involved got a lawyer, and they complained. They complained to the St. John's High School administration. St. John's said they had done nothing wrong. They say this travel program that the coach runs is not a money-making venture, even though they have something like 55 ball players within their program who are paying $2,400 a year. And it's not really quite sure, you know, where all this money goes because you know, it's just unusual. It's just different. Let me ask you this: if you know, you would think the next question would be: would St. John's would they reveal if their coach is making any money from this travel team? Washington Post asked other coaches who run travel teams that in the same area in Washington D.C. They said, well, they're usually clearing $8,000 or so each summer for the coach. Simple as that. Let's talk about this. Again, this may be a preview of what's going to happen in more and more high school sports. As I mentioned before, it's going to be something where maybe high school coaches and travel team programs are going to come together and say, okay, this is how we're going to do this, because from the coach's perspective, particularly if he's running a really good program, he's going to say, you know, if you want me to stay at the high school and continue to coach your varsity baseball team and run your whole program, you're going to have to give me this extra travel team permission so that there's no, I don't want to go off to someplace else, simple as that, and run a travel program without your direction. Okay, let's go right to your calls, 1-877-337-6666. Let's start our conversation this morning with Jimmy out of Asbury Park over in Jersey. Jimmy, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hi, good morning, Rick. This is quite astounding. My son plays college ball now, but he played his high school ball at a rather elite Bergen County parochial school. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
They had a strict rule that the coaches could not run, a travel team associated with the school and all this. And even though this parochial school, you know, always asks for money and donations, which is fine, they didn't go for the money grab. And that's what this whole thing looks like it is to me. I'm wondering what the finances of the school are in general if they're allowing this thing to go on. It seems that they would be connected.
Jimmy, I'm just reading this as a fine account in the Washington Post. You know, as I just mentioned, this may be a situation where, and this coach has been he's been the head coach at St. John's for close to, 12, 13 years. As I mentioned, he sends a lot of kids on to college programs, and he's won all sorts of titles in his conference. So he's got a wonderful program. The question is, he must have said at some point, to the high school administrators, look, I want to protect my kids in the summer leagues. I don't trust other travel teams. I want to do this. I'm going to do that. So what I want to have happen is make it clear up front when a kid comes to my school, comes to St. John's, he's going to have to be in the travel team. That's sort of part and extension of the tuition. $20,000 is a good chunk of change.
Yeah.
But he's also, in effect, saying to the school, and if I get paid something as well, well, that keeps me from not having to jump to my own travel program, so everybody goes home happy. And the school's sort of saying they're not going to comment on that because they won't even reveal how much money this fellow is getting paid. But clearly other coaches in his conference are saying, yeah, we run travel programs, but our school says, you know, you can't have a travel team affiliated with the school and where we coach, but we're going to make upwards to $8,000 running as a personal into his own personal pocketbook every summer. So it's a way of trying to keep the coaches happy, I guess, at St. John's College. But, you know, it's difficult, Jimmy. I'm not sure exactly how to make this happen. But thank you for your thoughts this morning.
Okay.
Let's move on to our friend Ed Ward over in Elizabeth. Ed, good morning. You're next up on the Fan.
Wow, this is another new topic. High school coaches telling kids that they got to stay with their program.
That's right.
You made a statement that said that the guy wants to keep him away from certain certain travel programs that he doesn't think that's good.
Yep.
If you're a high school coach, you're smart enough to know which travel baseball programs are good, which ones are able to promote their players and all that stuff.
Yep.
Now, I coach as a former college coach. I coach travel now, which I understand, you know, that, you know, we're in this to try to help kids, which I do, but yet, be honest, we are trying to make a dollar on the side also.
Of course.
I'm not going to deny that.
Of course.
But the point is, you know, to tell high school kids that if you don't play for my travel team, you can't play on the high school team. Suppose the kid's father knows a guy who runs a travel program and has a proven track record that, you know, he's able to get players to into college, or, you know, runs a good program for the players to get noticed. You're telling that kid that he can't go play for that guy if his father wants him to play for him?
Ed, not only are they saying that, they're also saying you are now kicked out of high school. You're being asked to leave school. It's not just a baseball team. You're being kicked out of school because the administration says, and the coach says, look, I was very clear up front. If you come to play for me at St. John's College Prep High School, you understand that if you don't play in my travel team, if you balk and not paying the $2,400 each year, you're not only going to be off the team, you're also being kicked out of school. And the school has said, yes, we enforce that.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, Rick, if the school's getting a kickback. And they're probably not saying it right now. Okay, you're going to tell me that, and again, I'm not questioning you, because a Catholic school is going to tell kids that they can't play on the baseball team if they don't play travel.
Yeah,
and yet they're going to give up almost private Catholic schools are $20,000 a year. You're telling me that type of school is going to give up that type of money for a student to go to their program?
Yeah,
it's totally getting crazy right now with this, you know, and.
And thank you as always for chiming in. And you basically just confirm my sort of astonishment as well, that this is the way of the world. And this looks like this may continue on. Ed, thanks. We'll talk again next week. You know, but just to again reset this high school, which is a good high school in Washington, D.C., has a terrific high school baseball program, and the coach tells kids who come into this program, so look, the tuition here at St. John's is $20,000 a year, but on top of the $20,000, you know, you pay for to go to class here, if you want to be in the baseball team, you have to play on my travel program, which goes all summer and sometimes into the fall, and that's an extra $2,400. And if you don't do that, if you decide that some way through, I don't want to play in your travel team, or I'm playing a different travel team, I'm going to play for some other more elite program, then you immediately forfeit your spot on the high school baseball roster, and you're asked to leave the school. And this is sort of different, to say the least. And as I mentioned, three families there got a lawyer and challenged the school. And so far, the school has stood by their word that, no, the kids had to leave. These are all top Division I prospects. They have now left the school. All right, let me take a time out, take a break here. When I return, we'll talk more about this, because I think this may be, for better or for worse, the way of the future when it comes to travel teams and how they're going to mesh with high school coaches and what have you. So when we come back, we'll go right back to your calls, 1-877-337-6666.
New York's number one sports radio, 101.9 FM.
The Fan!
And Sports Radio 66, WFAN.
And welcome back to the Sports Edge. We're taking your calls right now about this sort of unusual and somewhat unique policy, or maybe this is not so unusual, and I'd be curious to see if you've heard of other or similar situations that are being employed in schools, where a school in Washington, D.C. says if your kid wants to be on the baseball team, then he or the parents have to promise to be have the kid on the coach's travel team and pay an extra $2,400 each year on top of the school tuition. Now, the school says, look, this is what we do. This is how we do. We have a great program here. We have a great coach, and it's very competitive. And if your kid just opts not to play in the baseball team, well, we're very upfront about this when he came on board. And there's no fine print, no, we're not trying to pull a fast one, but if he opts not to play in the travel program, has nothing to do whether he's a starter or sits on the bench, well, he's going to be asked to leave the school. And that's what's happening, and three kids in the school are challenging that, and they're all top prospects, but they're saying, we don't want to play in that the coach's travel team, we want to play someplace else. Anyhow, let's take your calls about this at 1-877-337-6666. Let's continue with Jim out of Putnam. Jim, you're next up on the Fan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Jim.
I want to take a little different tack. If these programs are in any way declared to be educational in nature, and I know of some programs, not on a high school level, summer camps that kids go to, young kids go to, and they declare them educational, they are tax exempt. So anybody who thinks that it doesn't affect them because they don't have a kid in that situation, they may be subsidizing that program to some degree because it won't pay any taxes at all.
Well,
I don't know if the one in Washington, D.C. is, but the fact that they're linking it to an educational institution may enable them to do that. So that's another angle to look at.
It is a different angle, and I appreciate that thought. And Jim, thank you for the call. The problem with the school at St. John's is they're not being particularly transparent about whether or not this is how it's affiliated with St. John's. In other words, is it part of it? Do they get, other tax considerations here on the income? I do know, the reporter from the Washington Post went to St. John's and said, look, can you give me a breakdown of financials? How much does the coach get paid for her services? Apparently it was revealed, allegedly, that the school does not charge the coach for using the school facilities. And I think in most situations, and I could be wrong about this, when a coach runs a travel program in the off season, like in the summertime, and he uses the school's facilities, that, especially at a public school, well, he has to pay for those facilities, for the use of those, and he has to pay insurance and so on and so forth. But it seemed to be suggested in this particular case that the coach who runs his travel program does not pay any usage fees or insurance fees to use a school. So that's curious as well. Let's move on. Let's go to Frank in Staten Island. Hey, Frank, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning. I want to get you off speaker. Good morning.
Hey, yes.
I live back in New York now, but I used to coach against St. John's. I used to referee basketball down there, and I was a high school baseball and football coach for 10 years down in that area in public schools. And I don't know if anybody brought this up, but Kevin Plank, the owner of Under Armour, he went to St. John's.
And he underwrites a lot of the programs there.
Oh, no. He donated millions to change that whole facility around with the new turf and everything. And when I first started coaching there, St. John's was not, they weren't a prominent as far as winning championships over there in football or basketball. And once that facility was completed, you know, it started to change the whole program down there. Now, I know who you're. I know who the baseball coach is, and you know, I coached against them.
Mm-hmm.
When they first started, they were a normal program. After a couple of years, they were just. It was just like totally, you know, non-competitive for us. They would destroy us.
Yep.
So I just, when you talk about facilities, what you just mentioned about yep. Charging and everything, there's so much money back there. And the fact that they're being transparent about it, I just can't believe, and this is what I still, listening to you, I still can't believe that they're saying you can't go to the school.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is that completely confirmed?
Yeah, that's why this article ran in the Washington Post, and they gave it a lot of length.
And what was their rebuttal? Well, because I'm up in New York, I'm going to try to go online. Well, try to see this, but what was their rebuttal when they said you can't go to the school?
They said, we made it very clear up front that if you want to play baseball here, that you have to understand that you have to pay this money to pay for Coach Gibbs. He's the coach, and his travel program in the summertime, which goes into the fall. Now, Frank, you're absolutely right. I'm not sure this is, I mean, it helps explain how St. John's got on the map, because you said Kevin Plank.
Oh, completely. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry, but that, absolutely, wholeheartedly, in every sport, it completely transcended into every sport there.
Yeah,
they got competitive right across the board.
And it's nothing wrong, certainly, with a wealthy alum like Kevin Plank, the CEO of Under Armour. He founded it, and so on and so forth, to go back and give millions to upgrade the facilities at his old high school. Got no problem with that. I wish it happened all over the country to high schools.
Absolutely.
But to your point, yeah, the school says, no, this is the deal. And by the way, I also want to point out, in terms of being fair about this, that when this thing came, the lawyer for the kids who were asked to leave the school, when they complained to the school administration, apparently close to 100 kids or families of 100 kids who played for Coach Gibbs came forth and said, no, this was a great program, and it worked out well for us. We had no problems having to pay the extra $2,400 and so on and so forth. So, again, it's a little different because it's a private parochial school as opposed to a public school. But this is I just wish it was a little more transparency as to what the coach was, how he set this up with the school, you know, how he takes care of, monies are allocated, on and so forth.
But it is transparent. They are telling you. I think the underlying thing is, people are looking, like in a public school, you could never do that in a million years. I mean, my hands were so tied in a public school to do anything outside the norms of what the dates and what you can and can't do and the fields and on and on and on. When you're in a private school like that, if they're behind you and they're agreeing on it, there people are looking for laws saying, wait a minute. Can you do this?
Well, Frank, I'm telling you, this is, I mean, you obviously, as you said, you coached against St. John's, and you saw the school transform into a major powerhouse, and you'd also mentioned the public school. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago, and this happens more and more often, where it's in a public setting, a public high school setting, they can't tell kids, okay, you have to be in my travel team, and you have to pay money, otherwise you're kicked off the team. That's not going to happen in a public high school. But there was a situation not too long ago, as I said, down in Plant City in Florida, where it was understood, which also a really good high school program and a very successful high school coach, it was understood throughout the community that if your kid wanted to be on the high school varsity, then he had to be on that coach's travel team program in the summertime. Otherwise, the odds of the kid making a team were like zero. So there was a lot of circumstantial evidence that proved that. But at the end of the day, when the Florida High School Athletic Association got involved and said, well, yeah, okay, the numbers are weird and whatever. So they basically, the high school fired the coach. And then a few weeks later, they went through a raft of interviews for new coaches. And the high school came back and said, we still think this guy's the best coach, so we're going to hire him back. I mean, so.
Yeah, this, well, see, but that's something on a whole new level.
I understand. I understand.
When you're talking about high school athletics, and you're speaking on public schools, I mean, it's completely when you travel programs take so much time away. I mean, listen, as a high school football coach, we need so much time, so much more time than baseball to put things together. And if we could have an off-season program in a public school, that would be, I can't even tell you the ramifications down the line. But in baseball, you're almost telling a kid, hey, you can't play football, you can't do this, and you can't do that if you're going to be on a travel program. So it extends way beyond just saying you're not going to make the team.
Yeah, but Frank, we're going into a different territory here, and I hear what you're saying, but the fact is I can make a case that, okay, we want our kids not to specialize in one sport. They should play a variety of sports, and playing baseball is so demanding that you need to get a lot more at-bats. You can't get, good quality baseball in the spring here because the weather's so poor. So it's essential that kids play travel baseball in the summertime. The weather is better. But again, I understand the demands of football are extensive, as they are for baseball or for other sports. You know, around here, as you know, it really depends on the school district and the state laws as to when kids can practice or practice with their high school coaches in the summertime. It's very complicated. But this case, as you just attested to, this is pretty unusual. And it's, the school is transparent up front saying, if you want to come here, you got to pay your way to be in the coach's baseball team. But if you don't, you're going to be kicked out of school. And that's different. Hey, Frank, thank you for your thoughts. Very much appreciate you calling in. All right. Talk to you again soon. Let's move on. Let's go to our friend Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Hey, Jack, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Jack?
I'm doing well. Hope you're staying safe and healthy.
Yep.
In Virginia, they have a rule that they passed in 2011 that said coaches can coach their kids out of season, and they have, I think, during the school year, three or four dead times, they call it, of 10-day periods where you can't coach.
Right.
What I think they did is they put those in each season, 10 days in each season, fall, winter, spring, and summer, where you're not allowed to coach the kids. But in 2019, at the end of this school year, a couple months back, like 6 months back, there was a bill or a rule that was going to be passed. Now, I couldn't find whether it was passed or not, that they were going to disallow that. Because of the small schools, because of one of your biggest topics is that it doesn't allow the kid to be a three-sport athlete anymore.
Yep.
So, one of the situations is that the small schools in Virginia are fighting this to get that rule, diminished by getting rid of the rule that you're allowed to coach all year because they need their kids to play basketball and soccer and football. So, with that, that's the rule. I don't know whether it was passed or not. I couldn't find it online or anything like that. But it does take away from the three-sport athlete. Up here in New Jersey, you would never get away with that. The NJSIAA does not allow you to coach your kids out of season. And by all means, for a coach to take money from their players, high school players, and, two or three kids that you're actually giving private lessons to in the off season or playing for your club team, that's going to only cause a lot of controversy in the stands that those three kids are playing because they're paying the coach. When you talked about the money, $2,400, I want you to add that up times the 52 kids in this program.
It's a lot of money.
That's $120,000 a year, okay? So what about the kid who wants to come to this school, wants to play baseball, but wants to be a three-sport athlete and doesn't want to play baseball out of season? He doesn't want to play for another club team. Would that kid be allowed to come out for the baseball team? I mean, this is really crazy. But, the guy came, in my opinion, the guy came up with a gimmick. I want to make it safe for my players. And that's how he probably promoted this whole thing for
right.
his administration.
Correct.
And he got away with it, and he's getting away with it. Now, Catholic school, his is a Catholic school or a private school. So he still has to, if he's abiding by it's the VHSL. That's the governing program down in Virginia that governs all high school athletics.
Jack, Let me interrupt. I just want to be clear. This is in Northwest Washington, D.C., which I assume has a different jurisdiction than the state of Virginia. But to your point, this guy came up with either cooked up a creative way, and he must have gone back to the administration at St. John's College High School and said, I can go to be a coach somewhere else and make a lot more money. So if you want me to stay here, I want to be able to make a mandated that if a kid comes to here and wants to play baseball, then he's going to have to pay this money guaranteed. And if he doesn't, then I need your support as the administration to say the kid's out of school, not just off the team, but out of school. Now Jack, I got to be honest with you. There's no mention here about how he is with playing time with his kids. I mean, I would think if a kid is not getting much playing time on the varsity or in the travel program, or he feels he's not getting a fair shot or whatever, somebody's going to say, paying a lot of money here, and we're paying a lot of money in the off season to the coach, but I don't see my kid benefiting from this at all. So,
does his club teams travel? Do they play outside the D.C. area?
Yes, they go up and down the East Coast.
You're looking at $2,400. That's not even close to what it's going to totally cost for travel and hotels and all the showcases that these kids go to. As far as I'm concerned, this guy's like a dictator down there, but he's getting away with it.
Well, the other thing is, they say in the article and in other coaches, and we know this, they said it doesn't really cost. That's $2,400 you pay as a check to the school, to the coach. But the travel to go into tournaments and showcases, that runs up to around $12,000. So this is not cheap.
it's an unbelievable situation. But, you know, when I was coaching at the high school level, I would have loved to have been able to coach my kids out of season, you know. And then when the NJSIAA came through and said, listen, you can coach your kids during the summertime, that was great, you know. But up until that time that they passed that law, I would always have my teams playing in the summer, but I always had outside coaches coaching them, hardly ever parents. I never liked the parents to coach. So I would go out and get people that I knew that would follow my rules, but I was never interacting with them as far as the instruction and the playtime game. But here down in this area where you're talking about in D.C., you know, it's like you call it the Wild Wild West. I can do whatever I want now, you know, and every coach in the world would love that.
Jack, thank you, Jack Smithlin, Hall of Fame coach. Thank you for doing some research about this because it's pretty complicated. And, it's going to be curious to see how this continues to play out and whether other schools, particularly private or parochial schools, do the same thing. We shall see. Jack, I'll talk to you soon. Okay, so I just want to remind folks, we're talking about this unusual situation where in this high school, a parochial school in Washington, D.C., the baseball coach is basically mandated and is very upfront about it that if you want to go to school here and you want to play baseball, you're going to have to pay the tuition of $20,000 to go to school and also pay me $2,400 if you want to be on the baseball team and you're going to be in the travel team. If you don't, not only are you not on the baseball team, you're going to be asked to leave school as well. 1-877-337-6666. I'm wondering if this is the way of the world, how things are going to revolve in the next 5 or 10 years. I will remind you also that this portion of the show is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair. Nobody. Let's take a break. When I come back, right back to the calls.
The Fan Sports Radio 101.9 FM Sports Radio 66 Sports Radio WFAN.
Hey, don't forget that 9 o'clock this morning, Mike Francesa will be along, and he'll be discussing what's happening in our brave new world without daily sports. And, of course, the NFL, though, is still moving ahead with its draft. Plus, Mike, as always, the incomparable Mike Francesa, has lots of provocative, timely, fascinating insights into what's happening around us. Again, Mike Francesa follows the Sports Edge today at 9 a.m. Just a quick reminder, I mentioned last week that the revised edition of the Sports Parenting Edge is now available for sale on Amazon. All you have to do, you can either buy it as a print book or as an ebook. And also a reminder, you can always reach out to me with your thoughts and comments at AskCoachWolf.com. Before we get back to our calls about this unusual travel team pay-for-play situation down in D.C., Quick update regarding this lawsuit with the three biological high school track stars in Connecticut, the female biological track stars. Apparently, Attorney General William Barr and the Department of Justice, they've chimed in and said that transgender girls should not be allowed to run against natural-born girls. Barr has argued that the Connecticut Interscholastic Athletic Commission's policy actually deprives women and girls of their Title IX protections. Here's a quick quote. Under CIAC's interpretation of Title IX, schools may not account for the real physiological differences between men and women. Instead, schools have certain biological males, namely those who publicly identify as female, and they're competing against biological females. And in doing so, according to the Department of Justice, the CIAC is depriving those women of the single-sex athletic competitions that are one of the marquee accomplishments of Title IX. So, curious as to we're seeing what kind of play this is getting in the at the national level, the federal level. Again, that's William Barr in the Department of Justice saying, no, this isn't fair to have these transgender girls compete against biological girls, at least in track and field. Okay, we're talking about this fascinating article from the Washington Post about a top private high school in D.C., where if you want to be in the varsity baseball team, the school tells you in advance that your son needs to be in the coach's travel program in the summertime, and being in that travel team is that extra cost runs another $2,400. And if you don't pay it, well, not only are you not on the baseball team, you are kicked out of school. We're taking your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Let's go to Trevor out in Illinois. Trevor, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. You know, 10 years ago, one of my family members, they saw this out here, too, in the heartland where a coach told them, you know, you're not going to play high school ball if you don't play on my travel program. So it's in some of the rural areas as well as the big city areas.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys covered facilities and fees and insurance and all that stuff and private lessons money, but just think about some of those kids that are traveling 60 minutes in the morning just to get to that school because they know that program's going to enable them to go on to play at a full ride junior college or a D1 or a D2. And those kids are leaving their towns, so their high school teams won't be that good.
Yep.
Just to go to this place because this program is running this semi-quasi-professional league. Let's just, you know, maybe you got to get them out of conference. Treat them like these basketball IMG academies or LeBron James kids basketball program where you're not in a conference. You're in some kind of national traveling program. We got to get them out of conference at least, and maybe we shouldn't use the word transparent. Maybe they're being a little opaque instead of transparent.
Well,
I don't think we're getting all the information.
Trevor, you make good points here, and I think they are transparent up to a point. They are transparent about the fact that they're saying, okay, here's the deal. If you come here, love to have you here and play ball for us, but we're being upfront about this, so it's not hidden in the fine print. That is, if your son has any aspirations of being on the baseball team, then you understand that he has to play for the Coach Gibbs in the offseason, and he's going to have to pay $2,400. That does not include, and this is where the transparency ends, does not include the cost of going to showcases and tournaments in the summertime. That comes out of the pocket of the parents, and that can run into several thousand dollars. And they are not transparent as to, apparently, as to how much the coach personally earns from running this travel program, or does he have to pay for any of the facilities or insurance of the school? This is where, so it's sort of like transparent up to a point, and then it sort of stops. But the point is that they have said, and there have been top players who have said, we don't want to play on this travel team anymore. We don't want to pay that kind of money, especially with parents who have more than one kid or looking at college costs. It gets to be pricey. Yep. And they say, fine, that's your choice. We are sorry to see you go, but you are gone, not just from the baseball team, but you're gone from the school as well, which means then the kid has to then figure out a way to transfer to another school to complete his degree and ideally to play baseball as well. But it is awkward.
Right.
So,
you know, maybe some of those kids are the 10th kid on the team or the 12th kid on the team.
Telling
you. The third-tier pitcher that, you know what, I don't want to go to your program. I got to travel an hour to get to your school. I got to travel an hour home. I got to do lessons with you here or there. I need to play. I want to play. And some of these kids are paying the money and not playing much.
I tell you, Trevor, you don't get any better. I can tell you as a former baseball coach myself, you don't get any better sitting on a bench watching other kids play ahead of you. So, and I'm sure what happens at St. John's, the coach says, look, we are an elite program. That's probably what you were attracted to the program in the first place. I can't guarantee you playing time. So if you come here and you see you're not going to get much playing time, maybe you're better off transferring back to another school or your public high school where at least you're going to star or get more playing time, because I can't guarantee that here. And that's probably what happens, as it happens in most programs that are, you know, fairly elite. That's the way it goes. They say that's the way of the world. So,
well, Trevor, and keep in mind that third-tier pitcher on your high school program is staying in his travel program, and he's, again, the third-tier pitcher. So
yeah. And so you wonder how many innings that he's going to get in the summertime with the St. John's coach. Let me jump to another call. Thank you, Trevor. Thanks for checking in. Let's move on over to Rob over in Lake Success. Hey, Rob. Good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, Rick. I just want to echo my buddy Jack's call, which was spot on. I mean, when he made up the point that it's kind of like an elitist type of a situation, I totally agree with Jack. The really good athletes are going to be found. It's a gimmick, and it's wrong, okay? I don't believe personally, and I hope I'm wrong, that I'd like to see it go back to the old days where the high schools, the public high schools, are really going to be the format where the kids are going to play. Because the best athletes, as you know, we've talked many times, and Jack brought up beautifully, multi-tier athletes. I remember running in the Milrose games. I saw Herschel Walker running track. He was under the guard. I mean, warming up before he went out to do the 60-yard dash. He is a professional, one of the best football players that played in modern times, okay, running backs. And here he is running track. Jack's kid ran track. It was a wonderful sprinter, okay? These multi-sport athletes are going to cease to exist with this type of format. And most sport and best athletes are hand-eye coordination as well as doing other sports during different times of the year. I would love to see it go back to the old way instead of these travel teams. The only thing I would like that has to happen on travel teams is, I think, niche sports, and I hate to use words niche, like travel hockey, okay? There's a great team on Long Island called the Long Island Royals. Yep. They get the best kids, but most high schools don't have hockey teams. So you have to have these kind of a travel or youth programs where the kids grow and they learn in the sport, but they're not forced. It is kind of something that it's a choice. This is where it's wrong, Rick, that the coach is using this, the school is using it as a niche and grabbing these kids, and if the parents want to pay it, there's no guarantee they're going to get to the next level anyway, like your previous caller said. Always a great topic, and I love listening, and I'll catch you soon. Okay, buddy?
Hey, thanks, Rob. Always good to talk to you and to hear your points. Appreciate the call. Let's go quickly over to Tom in Brick, New Jersey. Tom, good morning. You're up next up on the Fan.
All right, I tell you, I have come to the point where a commissioner will please make that thing a national, because what we are destroying all youth sports because of the money grabbers.
Yep.
And you know the problem? A lot of the money grabbers are parents.
Tom, you know, we sort of danced around this point this morning, but this is what we're talking about here. This is all centered on money, and to your point, you know, it's everybody, on one hand, we all obviously believe in a capitalist society. We want people to make as much money as they can in a legal and ethical manner. But because the idea that there's so many millions out there available, you know, to be had either as a pro athlete or going on to get a college scholarship, you know, there's temptation about the whole thing. Is this the right way to go? And you know, let's face it, this school, this coach has figured out a way to. They feel from their perspective they're being very upfront and ethical about this, Tom, but the question is, how does this filter down? How does this work? How does this, you know, how does this really sort of play out on a day-to-day basis with the kids who are paying this money and hoping that, well, maybe I'll get some playing time, or maybe I'll get some innings pitched, or maybe this will put me in good stead to get a college scholarship? You're paying a lot of money up front in the hope and prayer that someday it's going to pay off. And if you feel that it's not going to pay off, not only are you saying, well, I guess I just won't play on the high school baseball team, you're now going to be asked to leave the school. This is pretty dicey, and it's difficult, and it really raises a lot of questions about what's the right way to run a high school program, Tom. I'm telling you, it's difficult.
I agree with you, but, you know, 10, 15 years ago, there was still a lot of baseball coaches and at the high school level that were just trying to get their kids some extra playing time.
Yes.
They weren't making a dime. They would come to the youth programs and say, I'm not allowed to coach, but I'd like to see some of my players play competitive baseball in the fall.
Yeah.
And it worked. But now it's become a giant business.
It definitely is a big business. And Tom, thank you as always for your call. The thing is about this, and this is how I see it, this is going to be the way of the world because, as I said, it's all about money at the end, and people have they see great potential for their youngster. And if this is a program that does have a track record of putting out not just a few but numerous kids going to top D1 programs, presumably on scholarship or partial scholarship, then why wouldn't I want to take an investment and pay the $2,400 to make sure my kid is one of those gifted athletes under this program? Doesn't talk much about the kids who don't get playing time, or they end up, I guess, lesser programs at D1 or D2 or D3. But again, it's a big gamble, particularly because you're not just gambling with making or walking away from the varsity baseball team if things don't work out, but you have to leave the high school. You're going to leave all your friends and buddies that you've been going to class with. And that's a real concern. I guess there was just a better way. Maybe they should have considered that if your kid doesn't make the baseball team, now, all right, you're still on the hook for the $2,400, but he can still stay in the school. That might be a way to get around this. This is something to think about. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Glenn Sweet and to Dave Miller for their leads on today's topic, and, of course, to Brian Rascona. Now, please stick around for Mike Francesa. He's up next. I'll see you next week right here on the Sports Edge.